I want to encourage you with this thought for the year. We're unashamed. We're unashamed. Many of you know this portion of Scripture probably very well. And Brother Adam, would you turn the heat down just a tad bit up here? I get so hot up here. Romans 1. You know it well. Verse 16, let's go there. Notice what he says. Again, Paul speaking to the church. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, why? Here it is. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone." Underline that. Everyone that believeth. Notice what he says. "To the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Underline that as well. "Being understood by the things that are made." Now, what's the world say? The world says it's blurry. We can't understand it, right? The Bible says everything's clearly seen, clearly understood, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God hath also given them up, or gave them up, to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They also, notice, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." We'll pause there in our reading. As you think about this morning, I want to encourage you with this. We're unashamed. Paul says, "I'm unashamed." You know, there's a lot of things in life that I'm ashamed of. There's a lot of things that I've done, and I know you have as well, I'm ashamed of. And I'm so thankful, and I'm thankful to God every day that He doesn't hang my dirty laundry out for everyone to see. Aren't you thankful for that? Because there's things that I think about, there's things that I imagine, there's even things I can conjure up in my own mind that I'm embarrassed. I'd be ashamed if it ever came out. There's thoughts of violence, thoughts of hatred, thoughts of all the things we shouldn't think about, right? Not only the thoughts, but think about the actions. Now, praise God, all of us in here are sanctified saints and we don't do very bad things, amen? But in the past, boy, we did some bad stuff. We did some things we'd be so ashamed of. I hope you never find out. You know, I heard one man preach one time and he said, "When we get to heaven, God's got a great big, the biggest flat screen you've ever seen in your life." And he says, "He's going to show every bad deed and every sin you ever committed on that flat screen for everyone to see." Friends, that's a lie. Praise God, it's a lie. Amen. I'm so glad that's not true. Because we understand through the Scriptures, our sins have been covered under the blood of Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, His blood has covered that sin. It's atoned for that sin. Now, as we studied this several months ago, we will give an account for this life. We will have the works that we did for Christ put over the fire and see which will withhold. See which will last through the fire. Will it be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone? And so that will be very embarrassing. That will be very shameful. But for the most part, I think about it. There's a lot of stuff in life I'm ashamed of. Paul, if you think about his life, now think through who he was. As he gives us a little pedigree in the book of Philippians, he says, "I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews." He says, "I was the top notch." I find it so fascinating that the most proud Jew to probably ever live. We know Jewish people, they're very proud of who they are. They're very proud of their religion and their pedigree and their background, their genealogies and stuff like that. The most proud Jew was sent where? To the Gentiles. So never question God. Oh, I said this many times. I'll never go there. You know what I said about 20 years ago? I said, "Thank God I left Edgewood." I kid you not. I said, "Thank God." And then I made a statement to one of my friends. I said, "I'll never go back there." God said, "Oh, really? Here you go." And I love this place. Amen. But you think about it. And Paul says now, he says, "I want to share with you something. After all that I did, the vileness, the sick, the wickedness." Now think about this. Not only his own sinfulness that we can identify with, but Paul went so much further than that. None of us stood by and rallied up a group of people in a small city and said, "Here's a bunch of Christians. And here's a little," didn't matter the age, babies, two-year-old babies, infants, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, elderly people. He rounded them all up and he riled up the crowd and he said, why don't you kill these people? And Paul sat back and watched thousands upon thousands of people be murdered under his watch, under his care. None of us have done that. I hope you haven't. None of us have done that. Now think about it. He says, I'm ashamed about a lot of stuff. I'm sick to the stomach about some things that I've done. But I'll tell you one thing I'm not ashamed of, the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of what it did for me and what it can do for others. Notice what he says. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It is not my own power. It's what God can do. Now, let me share with you a few things that God did with us last year. We're still in this year, aren't we? This year. We're going to start tomorrow. You think about this now. Our theme for last year was more. We want to do more for Christ. And I prayed about that, and I thought about that, and I said, well, I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if we can do it. You know, you're real ambitious and hopeful that you'll do more for Christ, but sometimes it just doesn't pan out. And I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, you've got to help us to do more. Let me tell you a few things God did with us and for us last year. This is amazing. Not only did we have all that he's done on a daily basis and blessing us, we had almost 11 people baptized. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you think about this. People say, well, that's not very much for you. You don't know our church. Okay? 11 people. We started out from zero. Remember, Brother Adam? We were at zero. Some of you with us from the beginning. Zero. And we built up. Praise God. We bought this baptistry. And by the way, here's another evidence of what God did for us. He got us, allowed us to buy this baptistry tank, and it was a little expensive. And we stepped out by faith and purchased it. And a friend helped us. He donated some money to help us purchase that because we couldn't have done it on our own. And I said, Lord, we spent the money on that. Now, Lord, please don't make me look like a fool. Give us somebody to baptize. I started going through the kids at home. I said, who wants to, are you saved? Do you want to get baptized? What do we want to do here? We'll take anybody. And we baptized a couple of our daughters in our little makeshift hot tub. You remember that? We had that. Some of you remember that. And we got this, and praise God. But can you think, 11 people baptized. Isn't that wonderful? Now, every one of them, there were two of them that I got to lead to the Lord. But every one of them I sat down with and I made sure they understood what the gospel was. Are you saved? Do you know what it means? Yes, I do. There are 11 people that are now eternally secure and have a home in heaven. Now, I heard someone say this, but it's so true. If we did all of this, we purchased this building, we strive every week to put together a service and preaching and teaching, and all of you are so faithful. You've given, everyone in this room has given sacrificially, and just one person got saved. Is it worth it? It's worth it, isn't it? Amen. I think about that. Now, I'm saying this to encourage you, to show you what God does and what He can do. We've had 7 families join our church in 2023. Now, I said this last Sunday, I believe it was, or the Sunday before. But you think about it, sometimes we're in this bubble and we don't see everything because we're in it. And it's day like this, we come to a New Year's Eve, we can step outside the bubble and look from the outside in, and you get to see all the blessings, right? You get to see everything. And we've had 7 families join the church. I'm amazed at that. Not only those things, but we got to finish our platform and build this. We got to do our stonework in the back. We got to put together our baptistry and all that, all the work and labor and all the money invested into it. And all of you that sacrificially gave towards that, I'm so thankful for it. We got to upgrade our media center back there, our media and our sound. We had an old projector up here. You folks know that. And projectors are like dog years. You know, a projector 1 year old is about 15, you know. But it was old and it was getting faded. And we prayed about it. And Brother Adam and I talked about it. He did a great job researching and looking up, getting us a deal on things. And he found these flat screens and put it together. And I won't mention any names because you said not to mention your name. But anyways, all of you that helped with that, put it together. We got these done. We got a new computer in the back, some sound equipment, got some new screens. All of this, I'm just saying, we couldn't have done it without the Lord. He did it. Last year we added 2 new missionary families. And I believe that some people say, well, are you able to support missionaries financially? Sometimes it's a little bit tight, but I believe when we support others, God blesses a church, doesn't He? He blesses us financially. Been able to take care of that and take on two new missionary families. I'm so thankful you got to meet several of those families. They were here with us last year. We've been able to, this last year, to increase our savings account, and we literally doubled it again. And I'm so thankful for that. Last year I said, well, we doubled our savings account. We went from $25 Sometimes it feels that way, but we doubled it. Well, we did it again. We doubled it again. Amen? Wonderful. And again, I clarify, we're not, you know, bursting at the seams with hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we got to double. That's what we needed. Here's the most exciting part, though, outside of seeing those people saved and baptized. We've officially become an autonomous church, meaning we're a self-supporting church. And that's been an exciting thing. Now, many of you know this, but we started this church, we obviously had to have some financial support to get it started. And we had a handful of churches support us financially. Each month, they would send us a support check to help us get going. The goal of any church is to get to a point of self-supporting. We call it being autonomous. I believe it. I don't believe it's right. I just don't. That when we're able to pay our own bills and take care of ourselves, to continue to pull money from other churches, I just don't feel that's right. I don't feel it's ethical. And so I contacted the supporting pastors this past fall, about 2.5 months ago. And I told him, I said, you know, we're to a point now where we're able to pay our own bills. We're able to support ourselves. We're able to take care of everything. We have enough in our savings to do it. And they rejoiced with us. They truly rejoiced. And I'm so thankful. That's a blessing, friends. That's something that's so incredible. We're able to do that. Now, again, this is coming back to this. Not only this, I've said this to many pastors. They said, now, how old is your church again? I say, we're less than 5 years old. And you have a building? I say, yes, sir. And you're autonomous, self-support? I say, yes. They can't believe it. They can't believe it. Now, again, let me say this. This is God's work. This is what He does. This is what He's done. And if we, by faith, a group of people on the backside of a mountain out here, will say, hey, we'll go ahead and do it God's way, He'll take care of us, won't He? Now, it doesn't mean there aren't some lean times when we may not have it all. There may be times of difficulty and trials. We're not exempt from any of that. We know that. But I just want to rejoice, and I hope you're rejoicing as well to see this. We've added several things, and you know that. We're still working towards this, and we've got some things we'd like to accomplish. We want to do more for Christ in the new year. And in that process, it's only going to happen if we're unashamed of Him and His gospel. I even wrote this down in a little side note. We even had one wedding and one funeral in our church. Okay, so that's just some growth, you see, and that's things happening with our church. We've still got some stuff we want to do. We've got some maintenance issues we need to handle. We've got to finish our platform here. We want to put some nice flooring down. A lot of things like that, but that's all in the new year. But as we think about this now, God said, if you'll step out by faith and do what I've called you to do, I'll go ahead and take care of you. Now, I don't know a lot of churches that can stand back and say in less than 5 years they have what we have. I don't know of any other church. There's some churches out there, obviously, we know. But I think about this. We're not saying this to boast and be proud or pompous in any way. We're just saying, and I say this to everyone that asks us, I say this to the other churches and other pastors that ask me about it. I say this is all to God, glory. It's all to Him. It's because of Him. And this is what He's done. Now, I truly believe, and I know it sounds cliche, but I truly believe the best is yet to come. Don't you believe that? I hope you do. The best is yet to come. The only way we go now is up. I mean, we just go forward. And we're going to have some difficult seasons. We know that. We'll have some trials. We'll have some difficulties. Anytime you put a group of sinful people together, we're going to have some issues. You have a sinful man that stands behind the pulpit, you're going to have some issues. And that's what it is. But we're going to push forward and we're going to strive to do our very best. Now think about this. Just some of those things to go back and look at. Not only that, but the hundreds and hundreds of gospel tracts that we've passed out throughout the year. Hundreds of families and hundreds of homes have received the gospel tract. Now meaning this, we didn't see a lot of people saved from that, but when they stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment, they have no excuse. No excuse. And we understand that. That's one of our goals. We want to spread the seed. We want to share the gospel. Now let's come back to Romans 1, and I want to bring a few points out here, and then we'll be done. We think about now, he says, I'm unashamed. Paul says, there is things that are going on. The people that hold righteousness, that God has revealed it to us, the righteousness, but then they take that and they say, no, thank you, God. I don't want it. But Paul says, I want you to know something. Although the world is ashamed, although these people that he's talking about are ashamed of God, what do? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. What are they saying? I'm ashamed of God. I don't want nothing to do with God. Paul says, I'm unashamed. So far to the point that I'm willing, as he'll later say this, to give my life. I'm willing. He will later tell Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter number 1, and then later in chapter number 2, he says, Timothy, be thou not ashamed of the testimony of me, nor of the Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions. Now, how'd you like that for encouragement? Don't be ashamed, but come and be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Anytime you live for God, and by the way, this new year's approaching, you're going to try and live for God, you're going to be kicked in the stomach. You're going to be, dust is going to be thrown in your face. You may go through some trials. You're going to lose friends and family. And by the way, the closer you get to the Lord, you know that, the less and less friends you'll have, the less and less people around you. You'll see that there is something about holiness that'll push away people, but our goal is not to please man, it's to please God. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Would you go there with me? Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. I want you to see what Jesus has to say. Mark 8. Oh, I believe it's 38. Mark 8 and 38. Look what he says. Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed, there it is, of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You say a holy, righteous, loving God would be ashamed of me, his child? Absolutely. You are ashamed of God in this, he says, adulterous and sinful world and generation. You're embarrassed to stand for Christ. You're embarrassed to talk about God. You're embarrassed to let your coworkers know and your schoolmates know that you're a Christian. You're ashamed of that. Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you. I'll be ashamed to call you one of my children. You ever have a child of yours maybe be ashamed of you? You show up at maybe a school event or do something and they're embarrassed to have you. They're a little bit ashamed. That hurts your heart. And you think about this, Jesus says, same thing. Are we standing for Christ and unashamed? I want to encourage you today. In the new year, we have 12 months to go. 12 months. And we're going to strive to do our dead level best to be unashamed of not only Christ, but of the gospel. Why? Because there's a judgment day coming. He says, when I come in my glory, are you ashamed? Say, Lord, I'm not ashamed. I stood for you. I stood up. I wasn't ashamed. I had some bad times. I had some bad days. Yeah, I had some really, really crummy days. I didn't do all I should. I didn't stand for you. I was embarrassed. Yeah, but for the most part, I strived to be unashamed. And by the way, you ought to stop caring what people think. You're getting too old for that. I don't give a flip what you think. I don't care how you feel about me. I don't really care. I told one fella, I gave a gospel tract to him, and he looked at me and said, boy, that you're kind of bold to do that here. It was in a store. I said, yeah, well, I said, just trying to invite folks out to church. And on the back of it has verses about the gospel if you've never read the gospel before. He was pretty not very happy with me. But I thought about that. He said, you're kind of brave to do that, kind of bold to do that. I said, yes, I should be. And it wasn't easy, is it? I'm not, oh, I know everything about the Bible, and I'm not scared to share the gospel with anybody. No, I'm scared. It's intimidating. It's hard, isn't it? And you know, the average Christian hasn't shared the gospel with one person. The average Christian, as I said earlier, hasn't read through the Bible one time in their lives. And do you think you're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day and go, oh, holy Son of God, I worship you and praise you? No, he'll be ashamed. Ashamed. Now think about that. My friends, this is the year. I don't know if Jesus Christ is going to come back in this year. I don't know. We know this. I hope not. But somewhat of an inevitable fact is that not all of us will be here this time next year. Whether you move away, we've got some people moving, we've got others. I don't know if we'll live to see this time next year. I don't know what this year holds, but I do know something, that we can be bold in our faith and stand for Christ because of that great day that's coming, that great day. I have so many verses that I could share with you. I want to save a few of these as I study for next week and looking through it. In Romans 6 and verse 21, let's go there, Romans 6, 21, let's go back over. Romans 6, Paul continues as he walks through Romans 6, verse 21. Notice what he says. What fruit? Now, let me say this again. You remember, the goal of the child of God is to produce fruit. You ought to be producing fruit. You don't know what fruit is? Go to Galatians 5 and study the fruits of the Spirit. Not only that, but fruit is winning others to Christ. Fruit is faithfulness. Fruit is being faithful to the Word of God, faithful to prayer. There's a lot of fruit that we can produce. Now notice what he says. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now, what's the word? Ashamed. For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit, notice, unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And then the great famous verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. There's the payment. There it is. The wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love that. He says, what fruit had ye in those things you're now ashamed? Well, let's think back and let's dig up some of the fruit. Let's go into the pantry and get the fruit out. Of the things you were ashamed of now, what's the fruit? Depression. What's the fruit? Emptiness. That boy promised you the world and he took something from you. What's the fruit of that? Shame. Embarrassment. You feel like dirty, piece of trash. What's the fruit of those things? Shallowness, marital issues, problems, financial woes because of a failure to follow the word. All of that, right? What's the fruit of it? I don't want to look back on that, but it's a good thing for us to look back occasionally. That's why we have just a small little rearview mirror and a giant windshield in front of us. That little rearview mirror is just to glance at every once in a while to remind us what? What direction we're going. Oh yeah, I'm going north. Okay. That giant windshield, though, is there for you to look out in front of you. This is where I'm going. That's where my focus is. We look back on the fruit, and Paul says, where and what fruit had ye? You're ashamed of it. The end of those things is death. Now, not only physical death, but you know he's talking of spiritual death. But now being made free from sin. There's a lot of people that are arrested, captured with sin. Oh, I can't get out of it. Yeah, you can. Addiction is a very hard thing. It's very, very, very debilitating. We know that. Some of you dealt with addiction before. Very hard. But you can get out of sin. You don't have to be chained to sin. That's what Paul says. You can live what's called the sanctified life, where you're separated unto God. It takes a lot of work, a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of dedication. But you can do it, and you should do it. Being made now free from sin, you've now become servants to God. Notice you were servant to sin. Well, now you're a servant to God. See, you never stop being a servant. People think, well, if I go to church and all this and that, it's just a bunch of rules and regulations and I become a servant. He wants me to be a servant. The word literally means slave. He wants me to be a servant. Well, no kidding. Yes, you're to be a servant and a slave to God. Okay? I don't know how else to put it. He died for your sins. The very least you can do is serve Him. Lord, what do you want me to do? And God doesn't put a heavy load on us. Lord, what would you have me to do? He doesn't put a heavy load. Very minimal. Very small. I say again, to be unashamed, we've got to put ourselves aside and put Christ first. We must say, God, I'm going to give you more than just 45 or 55 minutes on Sunday morning. I'm going to do more than that. Why? Because I don't know when you're going to stand before Christ. I don't know when your last day is. You ought to be ready. You ought to be striving forward towards it. You ought to be looking forward to that great day. He says, where's the fruit you have? You're ashamed of it. You become now the servant of God. Go ahead and just settle it today in your hearts. I'm going to be a servant to God. I'm going to go ahead and serve God. What does He want me to do? Now, a servant is at the beck and call of the master. Master says, come, come, go, go. Quit your job. Okay. Serve me. Help me. Guide me. Follow the rules. It's amazing to me how people get so mad. I had many years ago, a lady said, well, your church is full of rules and regulations. The Bible, I don't believe the Bible because it's just full of rules and regulations. I said, yeah, no kidding. Duh. Yes. You drive down the road, you got to follow the rules. You go to school, there's rules posted on the doors. You go to the court, there's rules. Every place in this world has rules. I went to the doctor's office a while back, and in the waiting room had rules. No cell phones. What? No, you can't do that. There's rules everywhere, and yet they want to attack the Bible. Well, it's full of rules. Well, yes, of course. Why? Without rules, I'd be headlong into hell, wouldn't I? I need to know which way to go. I need to know what to do. Now, think about this. He says there's no fruit in those things. The fruit you had was wicked fruit, rotten fruit, nasty fruit, worm-infested fruit. Oh, let's come back now. Here's the fruit. Now, what fruit did Paul have? Paul had the fruit of many souls saved, of churches started, of a new life. And Paul would be the first one to tell you that he's ashamed of his former life. He's ashamed of all that he did in his former life, all that he was. All that he was. He talks about this to Timothy and to Titus, and Peter brings this out as well. He says in 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15, you know this, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice that. Oh, yes, thank you. Study to show thyself approved. There's a part of the Christian life that deals with a workman. Being a Christian, being a child of God is not easy. People think I'll get saved and everything will be great. I'll relax under the shade tree, pink lemonade, everything. No, it's hard work. He wants servants that are hard-working people. Paul tells Timothy, he says, study. Well, study what, Paul? Study the Word. Study to show what? Thyself approved. There's a self-approval. You show him and show God. He's a workman and we're doing it all so we're not ashamed. Peter would later go on to say, and he says what? Know how to answer every man that asks you of what? The reason of the hope that's in you. You need to know what to say. You need to have that in store and in your heart. What are we saying? I'm unashamed. When you memorize this book and study this book and prepare to answer people, what are you doing? You are saying I'm unashamed because I'm ready for somebody to ask me something. I'm ready to share the gospel. I'm ready even to talk to somebody about this. If we're ashamed, we're not going to want to do that. Well, I don't know the Bible. A lot of us, like me, hide behind that. Well, I don't know a lot of it, and I don't know what to say, so therefore, if anyone asks me, I'll just tell them I don't know. I don't know. I've said this for years, but if you invite family and friends and say, I don't really know how to say it, just bring them here and say, I'll bring you over to Brother Tim. He can tell. I'll bring you to Brother Adam, Brother Robbie, somebody. You know, they'll tell you what to do. But bring them. You think about now. Study. Be prepared. And what you're doing to showing God is that, Lord, I'm studying. Lord, I'm being a workman. Lord, I'm not being a lazy sluggard, as Proverbs says. I'm being one that is strong. I'm being faithful. I'm disciplined. And I'm studying. Why? In case you want to use me. In case you want to ever use me, Lord, I'm ready to go. Some of you have employees that work for you or maybe beside you. It's that employee that's ready to go, right? He's up to date. He's ready. He's hardworking. He's there early. He stays late. He does everything you ask him to do, whatever the case is. Others, not so much, right? That one is the one you inevitably see excel in that business, right? They excel. They go from the top, bottom to the top. It's simply because they're prepared and the manager can look and say, man, who can work for me Saturday? I mean, who can take care of this? I know I can depend upon so-and-so. And God is just the same. He says, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for a church on the backside of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere with a group of people that'll say, listen, we don't have very much and we're not bursting at the seams financially and we're not bursting at the doors overflowing with people. But I'll tell you what, man, that church has some faith. I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with that little church. They've got people in that church that are unashamed and they've got some faith and they're willing to come and sacrifice and listen to Brother Tim. He puts them half to sleep sometimes, but they're willing to listen to him and say, listen, we're unashamed and we're willing to step out by faith again another year and do more for Christ. Oh, friends, think about that. Let me remind you of this. God does not bless a church who's disobedient. God does not add seven families to a church who is disobedient and displeasing to God. God does not allow 11 people to get baptized in a church that is disobedient, in a church that is not pleasing Him. When people displease God, He lets you know. How many would attest to that? Amen, we know. When you are not living for God and you are not doing what pleases Him, He'll go ahead and let you know that. And first initial steps are very subtle because He's a gracious, loving, patient God. But there's a line in the sand that a lot of us get real close to, myself at the top. I get real close to that line and God lets me know very quickly. He does not do all of this in a church that's disobedient, not pleasing God. And again, we're not perfect. We don't have everything together. But I believe we've lived by faith. We've done more for Him in this year. We've strived to do more for Him. You've come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. You've worked tirelessly. We've done all that we're supposed to do. God's pleased with that. He's pleased. Paul says to Timothy, later says to Titus the same thing. To be faithful in that and unashamed, set in order, he says, those things that are wanting, put together those things. Oh, I must hasten here and wrap it up. Thinking through this in the portions of the Old Testament, many that were ashamed, he says, were ashamed. Ezra speaks up in Ezra chapter 9. He says, we're ashamed of our iniquities. He says, I can't even lift up. We've gotten to a point in our sinfulness that we don't even blush anymore. We don't even have conviction anymore. The things that we do are so vile. That's America today, isn't it? I mean, the things that they do today that we're approving today. The average show on the major networks at the prime time, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock hours. ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. These are prime shows. This is not cable. This is not Dish and DirecTV, which you have to pay for. This is just prime that anyone can watch with a simple antenna. Are the most filthy shows. Vile. I mean, filth. Soft, basically soft pornography. I mean, it's vile. I'm just saying, this is where we are today. The average church today who claims the name of Christ puts on a show on Sunday morning. A show. It's a rock concert, basically. And there's about 15 minutes of preaching. The average church today, the ones that should be shining the light, should be holding up the light in a wicked, vile world in which we live, that Paul said, in a wicked world, are blending with the world, trying to figure out how we can reach the world by becoming like the world. My friends, that's a polar opposite of what the Bible says. That's the exact opposite of what Paul preached. That's easy for you to say. You think about this. Amazing to me. We need Christians to stand up and say, we're not pompous and proud. We're not better than you. Oh, we're a sinner just like you. We're just in the same boat. But I want to tell you something. We're unashamed. Paul says, I want to encourage you with this. I want you to stay faithful. Stay faithful in all that you do. Now, thinking through this, how will we be unashamed in the new year? Let me give you just a few things and we'll be done. We're doing good. Number one, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. Now, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're our faithful people. And I appreciate you so much. And I'm so proud of every one of you in this room. Not only have you been faithful, but you've given financially. You've sacrificed. You've taken care of us. You've helped us. This church, we couldn't flip the lights on and turn the heat on and the AC in the summer without your help. Not only that, but you've been supportive. You're encouraging. You're helpful. I know I say this often, but I could call any one of you tomorrow if I needed help with something. And you would say, I'll do my best to help you if I can. That's the kind of church we are. We're a family like that. But we got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. Number two, can I say we've got to be focused. We've got to be focused. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. Paul reminds the church in the book of Colossians, you know this, but he says in chapter 1 and then later in chapter 2, he says that Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. A church that lifts up Jesus Christ will be a successful church. We've got to glorify the Lord. Now, how do we do that? We've got to find out what the Lord wants us to do. We've got to find out what He likes and what He doesn't like. We don't just blaze our own trail. Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? That's a lot of prayer. That's a lot of waiting on Him. We've got to stay fruitful. We've got to stay fruitful. We've got to produce fruit here. That doesn't happen by sitting back and being stagnant and stale, doing the bare minimum. Being fruitful is very difficult at times, isn't it? It's working through and saying, God, I want you to do something through me. We've got to be focused. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be fruitful. I know you're unashamed of Christ, but I want to encourage you today. Take some time and pray and say, God, help me. Because if you're like me, I get really, really ashamed at times. You live in such a dark world. There's so many people against you. Some of you work in a workplace environment. Some of our younger people go to school in the school where there are very few believers. You work alongside some really foul people, and we pray for them and want to see them saved. But sometimes you feel like you're the only one, and it's hard. It's hard to be bold, isn't it? It's hard to stand for Christ. It's hard to stand for Christ. I heard the story of a famous athlete, and he had been preparing for the Olympics and working tirelessly and doing all that he could, sacrificing, eating right, working out hours and hours every day, preparing for the great day. And the great day finally came of his race that he was to run. He got down in the blocks, and everything culminated to that very moment in his entire life. He said, I finally made it. And the gun went off, and he came out of the block, and he took 4 steps, and he pulled his hamstring. Boom, and he knew it. And he fell down to the ground in pain, and he started to weep and cry. All of my dreams are dashed. They took him to the hospital, and he was laying in the hospital bed. They'd done surgery on his leg and repaired his hamstring and put things back together. But that didn't make any difference, did it? He was devastated. He was upset. He was such loss of hope. And anyways, a knock at the door came, and walked through the door was the winner of the race, the world champion, the world champion. He looked at him and he called his name out and said, what are you doing here? He said, oh, I wanted to come and visit you and tell you that I've been praying for you. I want to hope a quick recovery. And the athlete that was in the bed, his family were sitting beside him. And the mother and father spoke up to the world champion, said, you know, we're just devastated and this and that and all of this. And the world champion looked down at the man in the bed and he said, you know what? I wish I had what you had. He said, you're kidding me. Laying in a bed, pulled hamstring, hopes and dreams dashed. He says, yeah, you don't understand something. He says, you have people sitting here that are not ashamed of you. They don't care. What they care about is your health and safety. They love you. They're not ashamed of you. He says, I'm a world champion. I have trophies, an entire room dedicated to just my trophies. I'm praised and lauded by the world. They worship me. They want an autograph everywhere I go. I mean, everything. But he says, I don't have what you have. I don't have a father and a mother and a brother and sister. I have nobody. I have nobody. He says, what impresses me is that they're not ashamed of you. I have everything, trophies, fame, fortune, but I have people that I want to care about and love me, but they're ashamed of me. They're ashamed of me. I read that and I thought, that's fitting, isn't it? You know, a lot of people today, they go after all that kind of junk and they go after these things of money and work, and we have to work. We have to make money. They go after the things of the world. They go after all that we think is important, all that we think will make and bring happiness to our lives, and then we'll come and die and come and stand before Jesus Christ at that great day, and it'll say he's ashamed. He's ashamed. My friends, why don't we prioritize now? I'm not ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Why? Because it's the power of God into salvation. I want what Paul has. I know that sounds a little cliche, I know. I want what Paul has, that unashamed. I'm not ashamed. That boldness in my faith. Why? Because I don't care what man thinks. I don't care how they look at me. I don't care if they mock me and make fun of me, because I know he's watching. And that's all that matters. These people don't bless my life. These people don't give and help me and provide and watch over my family and protect my spouse and be with me and help. He does. He's the sustainer. He's the God. He's the one I'm looking towards. I'll stop there. Are you unashamed? I hope you are. We're going to look at that over the next several weeks specifically. And then we'll move ahead in the months to come of what God has to say, what the Bible has. You'll be amazed at what the Bible has to say about being ashamed and not ashamed. It's all throughout the Scriptures. As I can encourage you today, you start the new year out tomorrow. God, I'm dedicating my life to do more for you, but do it unashamed. We're going to start out. Take your Bible reading calendar. Get started tomorrow morning. I'm going to dedicate a time. Dedicate a time. For some of you that are extremely busy, you'll have to work some things out to put this in there. You'll have to work your schedule out. I'm going to dedicate my time. I'm going to sit down and write a New Year's resolution, not to get into shape, not to eat better, although those are good things. Spiritual side of it. I want to win one person to Christ. I want to invite four people to church. I want to, whatever it is. Would you do that for me? I know you could. I know you will. Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I've gone over a little bit, but I thank you for your grace. As we look at the Bible and how it explains clearly to us, Lord, if we're true believers, we ought not be ashamed. We ought to have a boldness about us. That doesn't mean we're not fearful. Doesn't mean that we're not trepidatious. We're not scared at times. We live in a dark world that's against us. And you said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And we know that. Lord, strengthen us in our faith. Build us up. Empower us, God. Help us to understand that it's the power of God unto salvation. You'll do your work if we do our work. If we'll give you a chance, Lord, you'll do more than you say. Thank you for your grace. As we looked at, Lord, today, all the blessings from last year, all that you've done, God, for us and with us and through us, I'm just so thankful. I believe the best is yet to come, and I thank you for our people being so faithful. Help us now. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.